The 14th of December, the in-season tournament moves on to the final. We have our two finalists. We have some fantasy news, not a ton, but a little bit. I'm in a new room. This is all very exciting. This is the Saturday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We are on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and YouTube. Please go and find us once you're done watching this. If you're watching on Twitter or wherever you're watching, subscribe and like the episode. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Only two games to go through today. Let's get straight into them, and then we will talk about the trade that went down a little earlier today. First game, Atlanta and Milwaukee. Bucks get the win, 110-102. It was a close game. Bucks, I think Giannis was really the difference in this one, and not surprising. But let's start with the Hawks. Reese Shea, nothing. They keep starting him. I'm assuming that's just because they prefer Hunter and Bogdanovich coming off the bench. Some ball handling, scoring. But yeah, Reese Shea, not even close to a 12-team rosterable guy at the moment. We finally got a Trae Young offensive-minded performance, I suppose. 35 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. 9 of 18 from the floor, 14 of 17 from the line. So good night all around from him. Whether that Achilles is feeling a little bit better and he's got a bit more confidence, I'm not sure. Dyson Daniels, fine. Not his best, not his worst. 11, 8 and 5 with a steal and a block. 1 of 4 from the line, not ideal, but everything else very good. Jalen Johnson, also not his best game. 15 and 10 with a steal, but he's been very good, so we don't need to worry about this. As for Hunter and Bogdanovich, both coming off the bench there, Hunter had 15 points with 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Shooting wasn't really on tonight. He made a couple of offensive decisions as well, I thought. And Bogdanovich, I think maybe we can move on. I don't know. He's let me bring up, where is he? I just want to bring up his game log here, just so we can get a bit of a snapshot of what he's been doing the last week or two. So over the last, where are we? I don't know. Let's go the last 2 weeks. Well, actually, how long has he been back? Close to a month. All right, let's go. Last month, he is the 171st ranked player, basically 12 points with a steal, 2.33s. Very good from the line, 93%. But very low volume as well, only 1.4 attempts per game. So I think we can probably move on. It's very close. Anyway, I would be okay with moving on. I'd prefer Hunter, let's put it that way. Okongwu, not a good night for him, 8-3 in 19 minutes. Capella was just a better matchup here against Lopez and Giannis. He had 6-8 with 4 blocks and a steal. So I would still very much prefer Capella over Okongwu. For the Bucks, Giannis, I said he dominated this one. 32 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 blocks and a steal. One highlight block if you were watching on Capella. I'm pretty sure it was on Capella on an alley-oop, I believe. Yeah, I think it was. So he he took over. 12 of 18 from the line hurts, but he was 5 of 10. So he did hit, what is that, 7 of his last 8 from the line. So he hit them when they mattered. Brook Lopez, 16 points. That's encouraging, 2 blocks. We're still rostering him, but the production hasn't been great, but was all right in this one. Lillard, look, a pretty good game considering he had Dyson Daniels on him for the majority of it, 25 points on 8 of 21 shooting. So I thought Dyson did a pretty good job. It is Dame Lillard. He's an elite scorer. We know that. Jackson continues to start. We don't know why. The numbers in this one were actually not too bad if you don't need points. 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. But, yeah, nothing there that we need to be worrying too much about. And Chris Middleton, 6 points, 4 assists, steal a block. I think we hold just to see where his minutes go. Bobby Portis, though, let me just bring up Bobby's game log. Bobby Portis. So Bobby Portis over the last month as well, 111th, 13-7, not really doing much beyond that. I think he's probably a must roster player, but he's very, very limited to what he brings. Doesn't bring any defense, doesn't really hit any threes. Free throws are fine. It's points and rebounds, really, and then hoping for a poor Lopez game or a Giannis injury or something like that. So I think we're holding him, but in certain situations, there might be someone on the waiver wire that you could consider over him. Okay, let's go to the next game. Houston and OKC, the Thunder get the win in the end, 111-96. It was a bit closer than this. They did pull away at the end. Houston stuck with them. I thought it was a very good game, and I did put on Twitter that I think this would be a fantastic playoff matchup, wherever that ends. Like maybe it sort of depends how the Rockets go, but it's probably going to have to be a second round matchup as opposed to a first round matchup. I just don't think Houston will fall down into that 7th-8th spot. For the Rockets, I thought Jabari Smith looked okay in this one. 14-6 with a steal and a block. He has been better, but still not hitting that ceiling that we'd like him to. Dylan Brooks had 14 points on 17 shot attempts. Good work, Dylan Brooks. And no, I'm not holding him if you don't have to. Şengün, it wasn't a good night for him. 13-11 with 2 steals. So the numbers are okay, but up against this Thunder team, it's tough. Fred VanVleet could vouch for that as well. He had 8 points on 3 of 15 shooting, 1 of 11 from 3. And that 3 came fourth quarter, I think, towards the end. So, not a good shooting night. For him, he did have 9 rebounds, 7 assists and a steal, but just a rough night, as it was for Jalen Green. And look, to be fair, numbers like this are pretty common against the Thunder, so you make of it what you will. Amen Thompson, on the other hand, he actually looked pretty good offensively, 19 points on 9 of 15 shooting with 3 steals, 7 rebounds, 1 assist. Tari Eason continues to work his way back. The minutes are down. He had 12-2 with a block. We're still holding him, definitely holding him at this stage. For the Thunder, a great night for Shea. 8 of 21 from the field is a little bit down on what we expect from Shea, but he had 5 steals. He had 32 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. This team is just incredible. I don't see the Bucks beating them in the final. I mean, we'll see in a couple of days. But, to me, the Thunder are quite clearly the best team in the Western Conference at this stage. And the fact that they have Chet to come back is a little worrying for the other teams. Jalen Williams, again, not his best night, but he still had 25-5 with a steal. Lou Dort had 19-3, so he was the guy we wanted to stream in tonight. Next game, it could be Cason Wallace or Alex Caruso. But as I said, Dort and Wallace are the ones who are getting these minutes. So they're the two that I would be leaning into. And Isaiah Hartenstein, 21 points. You don't usually see that from him. 8 rebounds, 1 block. So a nice offensive eruption from Hartenstein. And as for Caruso and Isaiah Joe, Kenrich Williams, Aaron Wiggins, they were all there, but they didn't do much. Caruso, if he's not getting defensive stats, he has no value at all. And I don't think you need to be holding him. All right, questions. Okay, let's start with Joseph's question. And this is regarding the trade that went down earlier. Apparently, the Warriors are envisioning... God, that was harder than I made it. Schroeder, to start with Steph in the backcourt. Would Schroeder be a 10-team hold if he starts? I think so. I did tweet something out. I think he is going to play 30-plus minutes. I just don't know if the opportunity is going to be there for him to put up the numbers that he has been, because he is on a much better team now. And he won't have that opportunity where if he's not playing well, they'll just leave him on the court. Because as we know, they are not afraid to go deep into their rotation. So I think he'll be very borderline. Let's see. I wouldn't be dropping him yet. Let's have a look at what that minutes allocation looks like. And with Schroeder gone and Melton being out for the season, would Milton or Ben from the Nets be a pickup? I don't think Ben Simmons changes too much because I just don't think they want to play him more than 22, 24 minutes. So I think his role will just stay the same. He will obviously handle the ball a little bit more when he is on the court. Milton would be the guy that I'm looking at, Shake Milton, because we've seen, if you go back, let me bring it up. I can't remember the year. There was a year when he was playing for Philly, I want to say. All right, where is it? It wasn't last year. It might have been the year before. Let's have a look. NBA, let's have a look at this season. There was a season where he played a handful of games as a point guard, and he had some double-digit assist games. Was it this one here? Yeah, it might have been when he was playing for Philly. So it's very small sample sizes, but towards the end of the season, he played as their point guard. He had 20 points, 8 assists, 2 steals, 15 points, 16 assists, 11 points, 10 assists. And there's a few other assist games thrown in there, 10, 9. So he has that in him. And even if we look at what he's been doing recently... where are we? Okay, so yeah, look, he's had a 5 assist, 2 5 assist games, 2 4 assist games. The opportunity, I mean, it hasn't been there, but we've seen a glimpse. So he would be the guy I'd be looking at. But in saying that, this Nets team could go one of about 40 directions here. It could be Shake Milton, and I think he would make sense. He's probably going to need 28 minutes to be a standard league player. But then they also have, Zaire Williams will come back at some point. Cam Thomas still needs to come in. Bojan Bogdanovic, we have no idea. They have Keon Johnson. They have Derek Whitehead. They have Therese Martin. They have Jalen Martin. Noah Clowney, Dayron Sharp, Jalen Wilson. They just have a lot of young pieces and we really don't know what they're going to do. So I think Milton would be the one we'd look at initially, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not him. Holding on a 4% field goal percentage to end the week tomorrow. Should I bench Champagne or Herb? I can't bench both because I'm still chasing threes and steals. Yeah, you could. Let me just have a look at the who plays tomorrow. We want Sunday. So I'm pretty sure the Spurs play the Wolves. Yeah, so the Spurs play the Wolves and the Pelicans play early, I think, against the Pacers. So, depending on which Champagne you're talking about here, if it's Justin, then they play, the Wizards play the Celtics. So I do think Champagne's would be the ones I would lean into dropping, or not dropping, but benching, because they're up against Boston and Minnesota, two very good defensive teams. Pelicans are up against the Pacers, who just refuse to play defense. So there's a better chance that Herb Jones has a decent game anyway. Your team is shooting under 60% from free throw. Yeah, I've got a couple of weird teams. Jokic, only one game for Jokic. It's been a very weird week this week. And next week is going to be very similar because we've got basically three nights off for all teams except two. Would I trade Zubac for Embiid in an ESPN? Oh, here we go. I'm on top of my league looking for a swing big move for later in the year. Okay, so you've got Chet and Barnes in your IR spot, Luka, Dame, Triple J, Jalen Johnson as your best players. So is this trading Zubats to get Embiid? I'm assuming you're looking at getting Embiid here if you're looking for a swing move. I don't know. It does mean you've got Chet through like three sort of players who are, well, we know Chet's going to be in IR for at least another 6 weeks, if not more. Barnes, we don't know. Could be a week, could be two, could be four. And Embiid, personally, I'm not getting Embiid anywhere. I'm not interested. If you can afford to move on from Zubats, if you think you can, because his role is very solid. And if you can make that move and you think you can get away with it, it could pay dividends. But yeah, personally, I'm not going after Embiid. So word is that Warriors hope to start Schroeder with Steph, buy low trade for him, or just another chef in the, yeah, a buy low for Schroeder, I'm assuming you mean. Yeah, look, if you want to go and grab him, you could, if the managers are sort of panicking and thinking that he's just going to be non-existent in Golden State. As I said, I don't think that's the case. I think he might start alongside Steph, but there's also Wiggins there. There's Draymond. So there's certainly not going to be as many opportunities for him to handle the ball. They might play him off ball a little bit more. I think he'll just be part of that crowded rotation, but probably at the top of the crowded rotation. Do we think Niang or Okoro are worth it for the Monday, Friday, Saturday for next week? Okoro maybe, because he starts. Niang, yeah, I'm not really interested in Niang. Rozier or Duncan Rob, I'd prefer both of them. Rozier, we're still waiting to see if he turns into anything this season, but I prefer both Rozier and Duncan Robinson over Niang and Okoro. Yes, okay, receiving Embiid, trading away Zubats. His owner is tempted to get back someone actually who plays, yeah. Sixers fan taking over your reasoning. Yeah, look, yeah. Like I said, if you want to do it, if you think you can, it's fair, like value wise. But I'm not interested in Embiid. IQ appears to be coming back. Look, he probably is close. We thought it would be mid December, and he, yeah, if he's made some sort of a cryptic tweet, I wouldn't be surprised if he is back this week. There was never really a date, but I think we sort of roughly anticipated mid-December, and we're there already. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he is back soon-ish. And that'll do. Only two games. Now, let me have a look. Yes, I can do a pre-game show. So the games actually start at a dignified time tomorrow, 9 a.m. my time. So I'll be able to do a pre-game show when I get up in the morning. Covering all, was it seven games, I think we said? Yeah, seven games tomorrow. So, yes, I will be back with a pregame show in the morning. That will do for today's show, though. in my new room. I might have to put something up on the doors behind me there so that it looks better than just blank doors. Maybe I can go and buy some posters. Can you still buy posters? I'll go and see what I can find. Mark Williams available on waivers, valuable for a points league. I think so. Standard league, yeah. I mean, what did he have the other day? 15 and 9 with a block, two blocks or something, which in a standard points league is 15, 13. That's probably over 30 points in a standard points league. And so I think that's valuable enough. And that was in 17 minutes. So green screen a picture of Dyson. Yeah, if only. I was going to get a green screen and drop it behind me here, but I don't think I'd be allowed to hang one from the roof. So maybe I can put something on those doors behind me. I'll go poster shopping. Anyway, that will do. I've got to go make some dinner. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, for listening, for downloading, all of that sort of stuff. I will be back tomorrow morning. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.